So there are two scripture, the same Psalm 91, from two different perspectives, and I will read them both. This is Psalm 91. You will live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. He will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. So the previous Psalm 91 was from our Bible. And this one is from Nan Merrill, Psalm 91. Those who dwell in the shelter of infinite light, who abide in the wings of infinite love, will raise their voices in praise. My refuge and my strength, in you alone will I trust. For you deliver me from the webs of fear and illusion, from all that separates and divides. You protect me as an eagle shields its young. Your faithfulness is sure, like an arrow set upon the mark. I will not fear the shadows of the night, nor the confusion that come by day, nor the dreams that awaken me from sleep, nor the daily changes that life brings. Though 1,000 may deride this radical trust, 10,000 laugh as I seek to do your will, yet I will surrender myself to you, abandoning myself into your hands without reserve. For you have sent your angels to watch over me, to guide me in all my ways. On their hands they will bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone, though I walk among those who roar like a lion or are as stealthy as an adder. In your strength I will endure. Thus, because you cleave to me in love, I will deliver you. I will protect you who call upon my name. When you call to me, I will answer you. I will be with you in times of trouble. I will rescue you so that you will know my peace. All through the years, I will dwell in your heart as loving companion, presence forever.
Karen, you're still muted.
I was just singing all of them.
So keep on singing, more singing.
So I like to call this a message for all ages, but this is also a sermon. And the title is, Who Are the Angels in Our Lives? And number one, what I wanted to say is that I teach English, so I'm going to start here, to an asylum guest, which is the word being used now rather than seeker. She came from Mexico through CAS for our Community Asylum Seeker Project. And her favorite passage in the Bible was Psalm 91. So I dedicate this sermon to her and to all of you. And it is why I chose it, obviously, for the scripture today. I also chose to use two different versions of Psalm 91. because it is diversity that keeps us open, accepting of difference and stronger as a community because of that openness. So to reiterate a few passages from each of those scriptures, from the New Oxford Annotated New Revised Standard Bible, the passage for 91 on angels reads, "For he will command his angels concerning you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Nan Merrill, in her Psalms for Praying, 91, she said, "Yet I will surrender myself to you, abandoning myself into your hands without reserve. For you have sent your angels to watch over me, to guide me in all ways. On their hands they will bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone." Knowing that this was her favorite of all the Bible, actually, I said, "What is your favorite passage in the Bible?" Because I know that she is, she reads the Bible every day. And she said 91. so I was thinking of the struggle that brought her here and the strength of her faith that is her constant companion and her favorite part of the Bible. That faith includes angels that have protected her. Her life, as most of us, and as with most of us, has us contemplating our own. What would it mean for us to have to leave our country and never return? To have to make our way in a new place with a new language, in a new environment, and to never be able to go home. So all of the refugees that we know, the asylum guests that we have, all of these are people's lives that have had to do that. So when I think about the gratitude of, the place where we live, I also think about the gratitude that we, those of us that I see here, we have not had to bear those kinds of struggles that this asylum guest has had to do. So at the end of the message, I'm going to ask you, a few of you, about angels in your life, how much time we may have. So during coffee hour, we can continue that discussion if you wish to do so. So I have the two following pictures in my home that have these words. And the first is, "There is an angel watching over you in good times, trouble, or stress. Its wings are wrapped round about, whispering you are loved and blessed." And the second is actually by an artist, Brian Andreas. If you know Story People, Art for Real People, if you've ever come across it, he wrote this, which was entitled Angels of Mercy. He said, "Most people don't know that there are angels whose only job is to make sure you don't get too comfortable and fall asleep and miss your life." I also, poetry and music are dear to my heart, and so I'm going to share with you something that may be familiar. There are two particular readings that come out of song, and one may be very familiar to you. If you saw the movie Mamma Mia, this will seem familiar to you. Or if you know ABBA's music, it's the same. And I learned through researching angels a couple of these. This one I knew, but it reminded me. So if you remember the song, it is written by, I'm always wanting to source the people who write the songs, not the people who sing them, I have to say. So Benny Goren Bohr Andersson and Bjorn Ulvaeusa, because ABBA is a Swedish company, if you may know this. And in any event, if you remember the song, "I believe in angels. You can take the future even if you fail. Pushing through the darkness still another mile. I believe in angels, something good in everything I see. And when I know the time is right for me, I'll cross the stream. I have a dream." And the second is a longer piece, and that was so beautiful to me. I recommend that you may, and I will share this, and maybe we can email it. But I also listened to the official video of Angels Among Us, it's called. If you look on YouTube, it's Alabama. I don't know if you know this particular music group and this particular singer. but it's based on his true story. And it goes, these are the words. I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. I took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, but he was standing there, and I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with a light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend just to say, I understand. Now, ain't it kind of funny at the dark end of the road? Someone light the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with a light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places, and grace us with their mercies in our time of need. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with a light of love, to guide us with a light of love. And here are a few references as well to add to our ideas about angels. This one is from the book Rustle of Angels by Weber and Weber. It was 1994. They posit that angels are from God. They also cite the following. The word angel appears 292 times in 35 books of the Bible. But other words are also used to designate angels. In the New International Version, words for angels include cherubim, seraphs, ministering spirits, etc., and heavenly bodies. And though Wikipedia is sometimes suspect for correct information, I found this elsewhere in other sources. And you may know this, but the theological study of angels is called angelology. They are considered intermediaries between God and heaven and humanity, and or are protectors or guides for humans. And from the book, The Compassion of Animals, True Stories of Animal Courage and Kindness by Kristen von Keisler, she begins with a partial quote by Henry James. Three things in life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. This is the book, actually, for those of you that have one or don't know it. And I wanted to read to you certain excerpts of this and tell you a story of one that I know that I've read and to be true. And I couldn't find the source, but you have to trust me on that second one. So late one night, as Niels Hagenjorden crunched through the snow in Alberta, Canada, he slipped and injured himself so severely that he could not stand. Lying helpless and alone in the sub-zero blizzard, he was sure he'd freeze to death before anyone found him the next morning. A stray dog silently crept over and cuddled up to him. By licking Hagenjorden's face, the stray comforted him and kept him alert. The dog stopped his ministrations, only long enough to bark at neighboring houses to summon help. Finally, the noise woke someone who came outside and discovered Hagenjorden. An ambulance rushed him to the hospital and where he was treated for severe frostbite. In gratitude, he adopted the stray and named him Lonesome. And the other story that I want to tell you, actually, I was thinking that if Pia was here, she'd really appreciate this, which is a true story about a young boy who raised a colt. Basically, they were both the same age and they grew up together. And he was riding with his parents in a parade that was a rodeo. Basically, there were, you know, steers and cows in the street, and they were, you know, riding along basically with the parade. And there became a stampede, and the boy was on one side of the road and his parents were on the other. And this horse stayed absolutely still. And there was a steer that went right under the horse. He rode that steer for a period of time until the steer went away and the horse never, never balked and saved this boy's life. So the third, I want to say, is what Kirsten said actually about the people she interviewed for her book. Because, you know, there are a lot of different points of view about whether animals have compassionate behavior or whether this is total survival instinct. Those of us who have had animals, you know, have other stories in our lives, and so did these people in this particular book. So she said that at least half the people I interviewed for this book told me my pet was an angel. Without my asking questions to draw out this response, again and again, people insisted that their animals had carried out the duties that angels are supposed to perform in the service of God. The creatures had delivered messages and warned of dangers. Animals had guarded, protected, comforted, encouraged, and rescued people. God had put the animals willing to help in just the right place at just the right time, many people believed. The creatures had been angels in fur. Whether or not we believe in angels seems less important than acknowledging these animals' compassion. They reveal and constantly and in so many different ways that we will only see it. Sometimes animals seem to have been put on the earth for the special purpose of caring about us and helping us. They are powerful forces for good. So now I gave some time to be able to ask all of you if you'd like to share, you know, what kind of angels. So I tried to present a whole range of different kinds of possibilities for angels. So I would be curious, I'm just interested to know what kind of angel, however you might define that word, have you had in your life? And maybe a little bit of how they showed up for you. Catherine?
I was not going to try to be first, but back in 1974, when my life abruptly took a tragic turn, and that of my children, a series of events involving Camp Wiakowi and a kid that my children had met the summer before, lived in DC, and his parents were divorcing. And so they said, can we invite John to come to camp and then spend the rest of the summer with us? And I said, sure. So that happened. And this was the summer of 75, actually, when it was just, you know, becoming really difficult. And his mother came to pick him up and she said, you've got to get out of this town, which was true. And doors began to open and she said, go talk to Joan Forsberg at Yale Divinity School. And she knows what women are, what's up for women. Joan thought I was applying, which actually I thought, I guess I am. And then somebody found a place for me to live in Bethany, and doors just went like this in it. And it was out of there because I had no support from family or friends or anyone at that point. So I wasn't running away, I was running too. And it was just a combination of incredible events, and that set me on a path that just made my life so much different. And so I'm so really happy to be here and then be retired, sort of. But anyway, that's one of my angel stories.
Yes. So you had many angels, it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whole gathering of angels who worked independently of each other. And,
Yes. Betsy?
A few years ago, some of you may know I ride my bike a fair amount. And a few years ago, I was riding with a group of people, and we were finishing a loop that ended by coming up Route 5 from Brattleboro. And there was a woman riding in front of me. We were the sort of in the front of the group. She was in front of me, maybe 10 yards in front of me. And we were going down the hill just before you get to Walker Farm. There was a car in the opposite lane heading south facing us, waiting to make a turn on a little side road that's at the bottom of that hill. And they waited and waited and waited, and it seemed as though, oh, they must be waiting for us. But unfortunately, this person turned directly in front of this woman that was in front of me, literally right in front of her, so that she couldn't avoid smashing into his car. And there she was in the road. And so I quickly, fortunately, the car was gone, and somehow I threw my bike down, went to try to attend to her. And what was sort of this amazing confluence was that immediately all the cars coming up and down were stopped. I believe one of them actually was Susie, I found out later. And there was a off-duty state trooper who lived near there, who immediately came out into the road and started directing traffic. And within a few moments, there was also, I heard a voice of somebody saying, "I'm an EMT, how can I help?" And she took charge of the situation, got us all doing what she felt we needed to do to tend to this person, make sure she's stable, that she hadn't hurt her neck, that kind of thing. And of course, many people are on their cell phones to get an ambulance. And so it was just this amazing confluence of what could have been a complete disaster that took a long time to resolve. Within a few moments, she was getting really good medical care, and she ended up being okay. I mean, she was pretty banged up, but she was okay. But that was just an amazing event to me of angels, mm-hmm. multiple angels looking mm-hmm. over us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Sue? Unmute your, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfect.
I hadn't, until you mentioned bicycling, I hadn't thought about this in years and years, but I found great freedom in my bike in my high school years, biking to school, biking home, and one particular day I was biking down this long hill, heading home after school, and I had seen that there were no cars, oncoming cars, and was going to cut over because the street that I lived off of was coming up, and never looked behind me. I cut right in front of a school bus, and I had a sensation of being scooped up and plopped on the other side of the street. And when I looked back, I didn't miss the school bus because I was going faster, or because the school bus driver was particularly gifted. I must have terrified him, actually, but because I was being scooped up and planted on the other side. Mm-hmm. And I still, to this day, I look at it as an angelic intervention. Mm-hmm. That's my angel story.
Thank you.
Ray, go ahead.
I can't really think of a particular incident, but your story, Sue, reminds me how many close calls I've had because I'm an absent-minded person and I drive a car. Mm-hmm. And almost every time that something doesn't happen and I realize what might have happened, I will say to somebody, well, my guardian angel just has to work overtime some days. And it's true that the, we come so close so often without really thinking about it. And I was asked to do a series of panels to mark Advent in a former church. And, you know, I feel like Western art has completely taken over our minds when it comes to angels. You know, we expect rainbow feathers and something that's, you know, very obvious and recognizable. But what I had in my mind is that in most of the Old Testament stories, the angels are not recognized as such. And so I started thinking, well, you know, if you were shepherds out in the field watching over your flock by night, you know, who could it have been that was an angel you didn't recognize? And I couldn't quite do this in felt, but my thought was, you know, it's like the angel that greets Mary. You know, who is it? You know, it's not someone we immediately recognize. It's someone who says something at the right moment. And that there's this sense that we can all be angels for each other because we bring a word that's necessary in a particular moment. So with the Annunciation, I've always thought, you know, some passing grandmother, you know, who said, bless you, you are going to have the most remarkable child, you know, something like that. And so who knows what it was on the hills with the shepherd. I fudged it by putting a figure in front of a blinding light. But there we are.
You know, did someone else have their hand up for a moment? But you know how people talk about children seeing imaginary people? And I don't actually believe that they're imaginary. And people have done some studies around this in any event. So I think what happens to us, you know, and Ray, you raised that too. I mean, it is about our being, clearly being angels for others, for sure. And yet, you know, we have developed our intellect to such a degree that I think that the veils between the worlds that used to be thin to people are quite thick for us. And so I think about this too with the reading about the compassion of animals. Do you know, in other words, sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us because our intellect tells that's not possible. You know, that doesn't happen. And yet there are cultures and places and people who do see other worlds basically and can connect to those spirits. For us, it may be, you know, angels or this understanding that there may be a guardian. Maybe we need to read more about angels. Do you know what I mean? That was sort of my feeling here because I just know so many people who have talked about having had these experiences and having had them myself. So anyway, thank you. Anybody else want to talk about being an angel? Yes, please, Guy.
Yeah. In 1995, I came to Vermont to sort of take care of my mother. My marriage had fallen apart. Sort of escaping the ghetto of suburbia in central New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And in the, there were a group of us men who were into doing a lot of hiking. Climbed many mountains together, drank beer on Friday nights, overlooking some of the fields in Hyde Park. Then met someone that some of you have been introduced to, and that's Fran Weinbaum. And Fran would never want to be thought of as an angel. But somebody who had, first of all, just an extraordinary sense of listening. And I use the story very often about the quality of listening, and I don't know if I've shared it with you. But when Sue and I moved in together here in Saxons River, I had asked Fran to come down and smudge the house because we wanted something special. And as a commitment, part of our commitment ceremony. And she was there saying, so what are you really being committed to? We were there thinking of the house and all, and all of a sudden it brought us to another level of commitment. But also what Fran did was really introduce me to the level of the natural world that I only sort of experienced canoeing and hiking, but it was a sense of listening. What is nature telling you? She's constantly thinking of the interrelationship of the natural world and our lives. And from that, we went on a number of wilderness quests with men on the New Haven River, on the Green River Reservoir. So it's really been an extraordinary relationship that Sue and I have really have with Fran as a constant reminder of the role of the natural world, the interrelationship of the natural world to our lives. So Fran's been that sort of bird on my shoulder almost all the time. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Well, I think we need to, we're moving toward the time, so let us pray. May angels wrap around about each of us, letting us know how we are loved and blessed. And may we be human angels to those in need of our love and kindness. Amen.